Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the
comes to stay. Let's all pray. Father, Lord, we ask you to come today. And Lord, we just ask you to have your way with us, Lord. Lord, we've come to worship you, Lord. We believe that you are the God that created the heaven and earth. We believe you had a great plan before the foundation of the world to manifest yourself as a Savior, to manifest yourself as a healer, a deliverer. And we ask you to bring deliverance today. Lord, in that great plan, you wanted to condescend down and become a kinsman redeemer, taking on flesh. And Lord, we believe that the fullness of God was poured into Jesus Christ, and that you are the one true living God. And there is no other name under heaven that a man can be saved. So, Lord, we come to you today. We surrender ourselves to you. We ask you to forgive us where we failed you and sinned against you, Lord. Wash us in the blood of Calvary. Forgive us, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. And Lord, I ask you to move me aside, Lord Jesus. I ask you to take control of my being, Lord. There's nothing good in me. Lord, I'm a sinner saved by grace. But Lord, I believe you chose this way, a way to preach the gospel. You chose a perfect God to come into imperfect man and preach your word. Lord, fill us all with your Spirit today. May today be an unusual day. May you visit us, Lord, in a supernatural way. I ask you to bless each one here, Lord. Draw us closer to yourself. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Before we're seated, can we turn in the scriptures today? Or maybe be seated for one moment. Just I have a few announcements I'd like to make. And then we'll turn to the scriptures. But praise the Lord. It's good to worship God. Amen. You know, the world is falling apart all around us. The world is not going to get better and better till Jesus comes. It's going to get worse and worse, and the conditions will get worse. We never imagined that the world would be in such a condition that it's in right now. Never imagined that. I never did. But it's good to know that there's a God.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. I saw an encouraging little video this morning that Brother Howard Searle sent to me. And we have the technology to show it, but I don't have it all set up yet. So maybe next week or sometime we'll show it to you. But it's a little testimony about prayer and just a mother's prayer. God answers prayer. It's just so clear. It's such a beautiful testimony. And how she as a young girl, she was 6 years old when a tornado was coming at their home, and she saw her mother just scream out to God, praying to God. And when the tornado passed, every house in the neighborhood was just pretty destroyed, except their home was left standing. And that caused this young little girl to believe in prayer, because she saw a manifestation that God answers prayer. And so she prayed, and she taught her children to pray, and then it's worth even me telling you and then seeing the video again. But she raised her sons to believe in Jesus, and it's just a wonderful testimony. And then so she had many prayers answered specifically herself, because she would pray every day and read the Bible and just believe God. And then this little 10-minute video shows one specific prayer that just make you cry, just thinking how God heard her prayer. God hears prayer. See, and it's faith that operates God. Faith. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter really whether you're a sinner or a saint. If you have faith, God will hear you. And God will save us and touch us. So let's believe that today. So we're going to dedicate Benjamin in just a couple minutes here. If you want to get ready, Sean and Patty. We're so happy that with Sean and Patty that they had a baby. And so we're going to dedicate the baby to the Lord today. Born April 5th this year. 6 pounds, 9 ounces. So, praise God. If he gets like Sean, he's going to be a big boy, though. So, we finalized the details of the May trip, just to let you know. And we're going to have one bus, and it's full up now on Saturday. So, some people are driving out, but Saturday we're doing a tour around Gettysburg. So, we don't really have any extra room. So, it seems like it's going to work out. Just keep praying about that, because it would be nice to have good weather. So we're thanking the Lord for good weather, right? Praise God. Amen. I'm trying to see if there's something else. Why don't you come on up, Sean and Patty. Will come up here in the front, and we'll just pray for the baby.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this new life that you've given Sean and Patty, a blessing upon their marriage. And Lord, though as a father myself, Lord, I've always felt very inadequate to take care of a little child, we recognize that we need your help, Lord. And Father, today we give this baby to you. We dedicate little Benjamin to you, and we ask that you bless him. Bless Sean and Patty's home. Help them to yield to you, Lord. May the angels protect this little one and guard him and give him good health. And may they prosper in what they put their hand to do, Lord. Lord, we realize we need you now more than ever in this dying world. We think of little Benjamin growing up. Lord, just touch him all the days of his life. Protect him. Help them, Lord. Give them wisdom to raise this little child in the admonition of the Lord. And so we give him to you, Lord. We thank you for him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You did pretty good. Look at that. See that little one? Was he asleep at night?
Last night
you did? That's one up on Sharon.
He's up and down. He has his good days, has his bad days.
All right, Sharon and Jared are still waiting for that first night. God bless you. All right, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Wonderful. Something nice about a little baby, right? But they do grow up. You know, you get a little puppy or something, you love a little puppy, and then they grow up and you're wondering why you got a puppy, right? So let's all stand. And not that we think that way about children. Right?
If they didn't grow up, we'd be upset.
That's right. That's right. So we're going to read from John chapter 2, and I have a lot of scriptures today, and I just want you to know I believe God's going to do something today. I don't know what he's going to do, but I know that when God does unusual things, there's a reason for it. So let's bow our heads before we read his scripture. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I confess that I'm unable to do anything good, Lord. There's nothing good in me. But Lord, you showed us the truth. And you said the truth would set us free. Amen. And Lord, I ask you to help us, Lord, to get out of the way today. And may you open the Word of God to our hearts. May we see the truth from the Word of God. And may it create a faith and an expectation. Your Word said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing the Word of God. And Lord, I ask you to create a faith in us today. For Lord, it seems that it's time for the manifestation of the sons of God. The manifestation, Lord. Help us, Lord, today. Bless the reading of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start with John chapter 2. And I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 23. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now notice, God has specific times for manifestation. Mine hour is not yet come. So his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Obviously, she had seen him do miracles already. And there was set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Which somebody said here in my notes that 1 firkin's 9 gallons, so 2 or 3, 18, 27 gallons. They were big pots of water, right? Firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto him, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. God knows how to do it, doesn't he? God knows how to do it. This is the beginning, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove all them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers of money and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. You know, it's interesting, if you go back to that scripture in the Psalms, you know, David's talking about, you know, almost himself, but really the disciples could see how it applied to Jesus here. So the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Wherefore, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name, when they saw the miracles which he did. You may be seated. God bless you. So obviously this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and he goes into a public ministry, and Mary had known there was miracles all in Jesus' life. And one of the points I'd like us to realize today is that God is supernatural. And he doesn't just want a church that's filled with knowledge. I don't believe that at all. His life is not like that. And if the life of Jesus comes into us, we'll do the things that he did. So, he said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." And Jesus' life was filled with supernatural works. And the point that I want you to see today is that we can read all through the scriptures, and the theme is all through the Old Testament, New Testament, that that verse 23, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Now we know we follow a ministry in the last days where there was many miracles. Signs and wonders and miracles followed Brother Branham's ministry to the place where people had to take note. Even if people disagree with his theology and his doctrine, they had to say, but God was involved because of all the mighty miracles. The blinded eyes open, the dead were raised, the sick were healed, thousands upon thousands. A line of discernment where people were told their lives in plain view, where this man could not have known their lives, but God was showing him as a prophet what happened in their lives. He was showing them visions right there on the platform. So the point is that God uses miracles to draw people. Now, Brother Branham taught us that the Word is more important. Staying with the Word of God and keeping the whole Word of God is more important than the miracles. But Brother Branham never belittled the supernatural. He actually encouraged us to believe in the supernatural. Now, what he tried to help people, because, when people see miracles, they start chasing supernatural things and they start wanting to do things themselves. And, that one time they asked Jesus, "What can we do that we can work the works of God?" He said, "This is the work of God. Believe on him who he has sent." In other words, sometimes people start chasing things with the wrong motives. And we got to realize that God wants us to see his purpose in doing things. So Brother Branham would say, divine healing is the bait on the hook, right? Because the apostles went out as fishers of men. So they're fishing. They're trying to what? They're trying to catch men for the kingdom of God. People are trying to... they're trying to catch them so that they can have salvation. But what draws the fish is not the hook. Not many fishermen go out there, not successful fishermen, and just throw a hook in the line. The fish go, "I ain't going there." But they put bait on the hook, which is food, which is something they want. And so the fish, it's drawn to the little minnow or a little bait on the hook, and it bites down on, because it wants that. It wants it, so it bites it. And when it bites it, the hook lodges in their mouth, and they're caught. That's how fishing works. I'm not an expert, but I kind of know that part. Right? Praise the Lord. So a fish bites the bait, but he gets the hook. So in other words, the bait's there to draw people in so that they'll get the hook and they can be caught. Now, Jesus applied that to, he said, his disciples were fishermen. He said, the bait, He said, you know, so Brother Branham applied it that the gospel is not just teaching. Because that's just, if you just teach doctrine, that's just the hook hanging out there. And the people don't go for the hook, they go for the bait. Right here it says in the scriptures, even Jesus' ministry, it says, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles that he did. When they saw the miracles, they saw the bait. They said, there's something there. And every human being, there's something inside of us reaching out for the supernatural, because inside of us we realize there's a life beyond this life. And so when something supernatural happens, people are drawn to it. Now there's all kinds of weird supernatural things that don't line up with the Word of God. And what we believe is that God is supernatural. The devil can pervert and do things supernatural as well. We know that's true. So, but God is a healer.
Amen.
And if someone has faith in healing, they can be healed. See, and they may not even look thinking the right way, but if they have faith, they can be healed. So I want us to see that. I feel like the Lord wants to look us to look at that, because the devil, I believe in the last age, he's stolen the expectation of the supernatural, which real believers should never, ever let that go from their mind and their heart and what they're expecting every day from God. As Gideon said, if God be with us, where are all the miracles? Brother Bram said in that sermon, the sun is always shining. So he said, think of it like this. You know, like it's cloudy a bit today, but the sun is always shining. It's just the clouds get in the way sometimes. In other words, God is a miracle-working God. He wants to manifest his power every day, but it's not that God doesn't want to do that today. It's just clouds get in the way. Unbelief gets in the way. Fear and doubt get in the way. Amen?
Amen.
But our God is still God.
Amen.
He still answers prayer. He still heals the sick. He still saves the lost. He still fills with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Every day. That should be our expectation. Praise God. So we see here that Jesus had people following him just because of the miracle. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 1. I'll just read a couple verses here. Nicodemus came to Jesus. Now, you know, Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee, but he was a ruler, but he believed, or he wasn't against Jesus. He saw there's something there. There's something there. Now, some of the Pharisees and high priests, they saw the miracles and they were so steadfast in their doctrine. They said, we don't care about that. We're staying with what we think. There's nothing to that. So that happens as well. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles except that thou doest, except God be with him. You know, I think there's a bit of a truth there. It's that people, a human being, a mortal human being, doesn't do miracles on his own. God has to be involved. Now, we realize, because we've been taught in an end time message, that there can be anointed ones at the end time, who actually can be anointed with the true Holy Spirit, but something wrong on the inside. But that anointing is still God. It's still God that does the supernatural. If someone prophesies, like Balaam, who prophesied and he said things that were right, and there was supernatural in Balaam's life, but in his heart there was something wrong, right? The Bible says, go not the way error of Balaam. You know, Balaam didn't believe his own message. He didn't believe the very message that he spoke, or else he wouldn't have kept trying to curse Israel, right? So Balaam had a problem inside his heart, but he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. And we find this through the Bible, that you can be under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and perform supernatural and still not be right in your soul. But that doesn't take away that God is a supernatural God and he works with his people in a supernatural way. Sometimes people react too far to the false. It's like today we live in an age where there's been so many false prophets, people don't want to believe in any prophets. But God still uses prophets. We know that. I know several personally. They're not major prophets with a message, but they're men that see visions. That's a prophet. It's a seer. Now, they don't go running around bragging about it because the Holy Spirit's on them, so they're humble about it. And if the Holy Spirit's on somebody, they will be humble in their ministry. God doesn't operate outside of humility. So we see here Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and that and notice the miracles that Nicodemus saw led him to come to Jesus, and then Jesus was able to say to him, verse 3, he answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You must be born again.
Amen.
So, the supernatural part of Jesus' ministry leads someone to him, and then he teaches him the word of God. And of course, Nicodemus didn't understand. He says, "You mean I have to go in my mother's womb and be born again?" No, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again of your spirit.
Amen.
See, there's life that's not eternal life. Many people walking around with life and they haven't been born again. But real eternal life is when you're born of the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit comes into your soul and then you have eternal life.
Amen.
He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has passed from death unto life. Passed already, so you can have eternal life while you're in this mortal body. Not by living your own life, by denying yourself, dying to yourself, and receiving a new spirit inside you, which is the Spirit of living God.
Yes.
That's the new birth. It comes through faith in what he did on Calvary.
Yes.
He took my place.
Amen.
And then I believe that's the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb. He took my punishment upon him. I believe that. And then this life that was in Jesus comes back into the believer. And that's the plan of salvation. It's a very simple plan. But I think churches and denominations and religiousness has gotten away from the real heart of the gospel, which was a manifestation of God, not just in Jesus, not just in one ministry here and there, but in the people that have Jesus living in them. If you have the Holy Ghost living inside your soul, you have the Creator, the supernatural God of heaven and earth living inside you, and where God is, they're supernatural. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, this is not just theory to me. I believe this because in my own life I've seen it. There's things that have happened that are completely supernatural, and so I bit on that, and I hook, line, and sinker. I'm in. I'll never get away from the expectation of the supernatural God, because when He revealed Himself to me, it was in the supernatural.
Hallelujah.
And so I've seen that in Brother Branham's ministry. I see it in the scriptures. It doesn't matter whether I see it in other people. I know that's the truth. The gospel is not just teaching. It's a manifestation of the power of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, we're going to have fun today. I can feel it. Praise the Lord. So let's go and understand that Jesus understood that not every supernatural is Matthew 7. Let's go to Matthew 7. And this is something Bible readers are very familiar with. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Now, he said, if you don't have your Bible, the scriptures are up here on the screen here. And so, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you know, I think there's that kind of belief in the land today. People think, well, if I say Lord, Lord, then I'm good. But Jesus said, not everyone that says Lord, Lord shall enter.
Right.
But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's why it's important to have the desire to do the will of God. Because some people say Lord, Lord, but then they only want to do what they want to do. They really don't care about the Word of God. And if you don't care about what the Word of God says, then you don't care about God. You don't care about the will of God. The Word of God is the will of God for our life.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't change the Word of God to line up with our life. We change our life to line up with the Word of God. You say, Brother John, you don't know what I've been through. It doesn't matter what you've been through. You have to have that desire to do the will of God or you're in trouble. You shall not enter, Jesus said. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day. Now, to me, this doesn't look like he's talking about theory. He's prophesying. He's saying this is going to happen. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name? Amen. And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So Jesus himself taught that people can actually do supernatural things. They can prophesy correctly. Like Balaam prophesied correctly. Everything Balaam said was correct, but you see in his actions where there was something wrong. But people can prophesy, they can cast out devils, they can do wonderful works. That doesn't mean you got the Holy Ghost in your soul. It means God was involved doing those things, but that's not an evidence, see? That's not, and when you start looking for an evidence of the Holy Ghost, you're going off right there. We have whole denominations that believe in different evidences of the Holy Ghost, and they've gone off track because they want to say, I got it. This is the evidence. I spoke in tongues, so I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. Now I can do whatever I want because I got the Holy Ghost. You know what? You could speak in tongues and not have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You can prophesy and not have the Holy Ghost. You can do supernatural things and not have the Holy Ghost. So we're not looking for something that we could say is an evidence of the Holy Ghost. But at the same time, we know that these signs shall follow them that believe. So the point I'm trying to make is whether doing supernatural things doesn't prove you're right, but there'll be false people doing supernatural things that won't enter the kingdom of God. But then the real people who are believers in God will also be doing supernatural things. That's why he said it'll be so close in the last days that it would deceive the very elect. Because both the false and the real would be doing supernatural things. So where does that lead the group of people that don't even believe in the supernatural and they actually belittle the expectation of the supernatural? They don't even qualify for a decent false anointed one. Help us, Lord. So we can't produce the supernatural, but we can believe. And that's what we are to do. We can't change God and what he does, but we can expect God to do what he promised to do. And that's our job, to believe the word of God and to have the right expectations. And don't let what you see with your eyes change what the word of God says and teaches. Believe what the word of God says more than what you teach. Praise the Lord. Now I realize we don't always see a lot of supernatural, but God still promised that it would be there. And let's go to Matthew 10. When Jesus sent his disciples out. Now, I'm just reviewing. This is nothing new. This is nothing that you don't know. I'm just reviewing something you already know. Praise God. But I'm trying to get you to see something, and I want you to stay with me, if you will. Stay with me. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of diseases and all manner of sickness and all manners of diseases. Praise God. Now, some people say, well, that was only for the apostles. I've met people. Well, we understand what you're saying, Brother John, but that was just for the 12 and no more. Well, if they read the Bible, they'd see that's not true.
That's right.
Stephen wasn't one of the 12. He was a deacon. But he was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Signs and wonders and miracles. Philip. All the different ones, there's many different circumstances in the Bible where it wasn't just the 12. Amen. It's for believers.
Amen.
And why is it? If the Holy Ghost is in you, the Holy Ghost is the life of God.
Hallelujah.
How much, listen, if you just get a drop of the ocean in a little vial, you have all the chemicals of that ocean right there. You don't need a lot of God. You just need a portion, a drop of God. You just need the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your life. And then you have all of the potentials of God in you. That's the wonderful thing about God, is he's able to divide his spirit. And once you receive the Spirit of God, then all things are possible if we can only believe.
Hallelujah.
It's not just for the 12. It's not just for the ministers. It's for you as a believer. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
And believers have confirmed that to be the truth all down the days and ages since the gospel went forth. Praise God.
Amen.
What keeps it from manifesting is unbelief. It's not for me. That's a lie. It is for you. If you're a believer, and what you got to do is get to the place where you realize, I am a believer.
Right.
It does apply to me. No, I'm not perfect. Yes, I make mistakes, but I believe in Jesus Christ. And therefore, I believe I had an experience with God, and I was born again by the Spirit of God. I can take you back to the place where it happened. It happened to me. I didn't produce it. He did it in my life, and the Holy Spirit of God's in my life, and these signs shall follow me because I'm a believer.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, if you say you believe, and then you never put it into action, then I have to wonder, do you believe? In other words, there's a sick person around you. If you hesitate and you say, well, I don't know, maybe it's not for me, maybe we need to get some more qualified. See, then there's unbelief there. We need the Holy Ghost to just have preeminence. Take all doubts and fears. You know how you're going to confirm that to your life? When you step out by faith and said, I am a believer, I'm going to lay hands, and they're going to be healed. And that's supernatural now, just feeds on itself, and you start to believe, hey, this is real.
Amen.
We have to get over our fears and doubts and our self view. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And then it reads the names, which I'm going to pass. And then verse 5, and the 12 Jesus sent forth. This is Matthew 10, verse 5. And the 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The good news. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's the commission to the church. That's the commission for believers. Preach the gospel. Share the gospel. Share. You can share it one-on-one anytime. You don't have to be a minister to share the gospel. You're talking about Jesus Christ dying and taking our place. Share the good news. Supernatural will follow the truth of the gospel.
Amen.
Let's go another into Luke chapter 9, another place where the commission is recounted in another gospel. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Listen. The devil is an intimidator. He uses intimidation to make people doubt. But we as believers have been given power over all devils. And the way that works is when you believe that and you're not intimidated, but you have boldness to challenge any devil. No matter what it looks like. Praise God.
Amen.
So, and he sent them to preach that the kingdom of heaven and to heal the sick. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Praise the Lord. And let's go to, I have a lot of scripture I'm trying to see. verse 6 there in chapter 9. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Everywhere. You know, the Bible couldn't contain all the stories of healing. It couldn't contain all the stories of Jesus. There were so many miracles, all the books of the world couldn't contain it. Supernatural power manifested through these disciples, and Pentecost hadn't even happened yet. But God gave them authority. You know what? He never took that authority back. It's for you. It's for believers. These signs shall follow them that believe. Praise the Lord. Let's move on into Luke chapter 10. Beautiful scriptures here that we can look at and remember. Verse 1 and 2. Now remember I said it wasn't just for the apostles. If you read the Bible, Luke 10 verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And you can read later what he told them to do. But let's go to verse chapter Luke 10 verse 17. And the 70 returned. Now, look at this scripture now. This should destroy any argument that it wasn't for the disciples if they're a Bible believer, right? And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So he sent the 12, then he sent the 70, and the devils were subject to the 70. Now, the 70 were people that even actually some of them walked away from Jesus. When he said, unless you eat this flesh and drink this blood, there's no life in you. He said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus didn't explain everything. He still doesn't explain everything. We're not supposed to figure out God. We're supposed to believe God. And you got to be careful that you lean not to your own understanding, but you lean to the scriptures. Lord, help us to see.
Amen.
Lord, give us a true revelation. Help us to see the truth. Help us to get out of the fog in our mind to see what's right. They shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free.
Amen.
The 70 went out, and the devils were subject to them, and some of them didn't even stay with Jesus to Pentecost. There is power given to the church.
Amen.
Where is the power of God? We should have that fire within us that says, God is supernatural. God is a deliverer. God is a healer. I believe. Do you believe? Are you a believer? Have you been born again? Praise God. I'm not mad, but something stirred me up. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we see the 70 went out. Now look at these verses. The devils are, they had joy. Would it make you be happy if you went out and the devils were subject to you? Yeah, it'd make you happy. Right?
Amen.
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy.
Amen.
Now, if you're just a simple believer, and you realize he's talking to you as a believer. Jesus gave us power over all the power of the enemy. What we got to do is get ourselves out of the way, get our human thinking out of the way, and just simply believe. I love that testimony that Brother Green shared years ago. These brothers in Africa, they were born again Christians. They had an experience with God, and they came to their pastor, and they said, hey, the Bible says the works that Jesus did, we can do. He raised the dead. Can we do that? And the pastor, thank God he had the Holy Ghost, he said, yes. So they started riding their bicycles to visit. Are there any dead here? See that expectation. Is there any dead people here? Village to village to village. And then they came across a village where somebody was dead. They said, well, we're new believers. The Bible says this. The dead's going to be raised. Of course, they laugh because people filled with unbelief always scoff at believers. Just expect that and go right past it. They went past it. They got in the room and the man was raised from the dead. And out of that simple faith become a movement of Christians believing in the power of God. And that's what we need to be today, is simple believers in the gospel if we want to see the power of God move in our life. Praise God. I love that. Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, that should take all fear out of our life. I'm a believer. You know, the devil operates by fear. The devil binds people with fear. There are people that aren't actually living a real life in this world. They're in bondage to the devil. They're in bondage in their mind. They're afraid of everything. They're afraid of their own shadow. But the Holy Ghost is perfect love. And perfect love casts out fear.
Yeah.
We are not to live under fear. Do not make decisions out of fear. Make decisions out of faith and love. Let love guide the home. Let love guide your decisions. Not fear, love. Praise the Lord. I love that. That's a scripture worth memorizing. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, he showed them, listen, there's a higher thing. There's something more excited to get. It, you know, eternal life and having eternal life is worth more than casting out devils.
That's right.
There's more value to it. Praise God. Oh, isn't it good to be a believer? Here's something we always say. We're living below our privileges.
That's right.
We live below our privileges. Right? It's like the animal that's in a cage and he's locked up on a leash and he's in a cage and he walks back and forth. He walks back and forth so long, when they take open the cage and they let the leash off, he still walks back and forth in the cage. He doesn't know he's free. He can walk out and be free. You are free today in the name of Jesus Christ to live life without fear and in power. And all devils are subject to you because of what Jesus did.
Hallelujah.
Not because of your worthiness or your holiness, but because he conquered the devil when he died on that cross.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. You know, we talk about Mark 16, John. Let's go to the book of Acts. Oh. Don't you love the book of Acts? Praise God. Now, if you look in your Bible, and I'm sure every Bible is the same, and you look at the beginning of the book of Acts, in front of chapter 1, it says, the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles. But we know it was the Acts of the Holy Ghost in the apostles.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? So it wasn't the Acts of the Apostles. The emphasis should be it's the Acts of the Holy Ghost in the apostles. And the Holy Ghost is no respecter of person. That Holy Ghost will operate the same. And one thing Brother Branham taught us in the last days, the book of Acts church is the church God intended. That's the way, if you study the book of Acts and you see how they operated and you see the power of God moving every day, that was God's intention for the church of the living God. Not to be people that become learned and self-righteous and look down on other people and become cold and bitter and hard. No! God wanted a church filled with his spirit, filled with his power, bringing deliverance to the lost. Sinners are welcome here.
Amen.
To get salvation.
Amen.
Yes.
They come as they are and we take them to Jesus.
Amen.
And he does the work.
Yes.
Don't ask somebody to clean up before they come to Jesus. That produces self-righteousness. I had a good friend growing up and we used to drink together and we were just sinners together. And what happened, we both had an experience. I had an experience with Jesus, and he took all this nonsense out of my life, drinking and drugs and all the nonsense and filth and wrong ambitions, desire, just took it away. But I had a friend, he was at a bar and he was drinking, and he left the bar drunk, and the police pulled him over, so he had an experience. And that caused him to not drink anymore. There's a difference. You see, he can be proud. I don't drink anymore because I chose. I made a mistake and I got caught and I don't drink anymore. But someone who's touched by Jesus, I'm different because Jesus touched me. I have no pride in that. I wasn't even looking for Jesus when he came to me. Oh, grace, the grace of God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. If the Holy Ghost would have left me alone and never came to me, I'd be out there in the world somewhere. Amen. Drinking and who knows where I'd be. So I thank God for his grace and mercy.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. As my brother used to say, Jerry used to say, John, if there was no reward at the end of the Christian life, I'd still rather live like a Christian. Even if there was no reward, this is the way to live. Not bound by devils, not bound by other spirits, not bound by drugs and alcohol or anything, but free to worship. Amen. But there is reward at the end. Thank God. Eternal life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm so happy today. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 1, they're in the upper room, they're waiting. In Acts chapter 1, the waiting was over. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, remember, some people tried to denominationalize Pentecost. They said, well, we're Pentecost because we're a Pentecostal denomination. That has nothing to do with. Pentecost is an experience that an individual has. There's many people in Pentecostal denominations that haven't had a Pentecostal experience. Praise God. But I want to be Pentecostal by experience from the top of my head to the soles of my feet.
Amen.
And somehow around the end time message, Pentecost got a bad name. That's bad teaching, bad interpretation.
Amen.
True believers are Pentecostal.
Amen.
All of them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. They weren't even kneeling. We always want to make it works. They were sitting there waiting, and the Holy Ghost came upon them as a sound. Can you imagine now in this building, it didn't say it was a mushroom. It said, as a sound of, and like a wind blowing through here, oh Lord, let it be.
Amen.
Let it be. Praise God. And there appeared, notice, and not just the wind, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, think of that now. They were sitting there, and this wind comes through, and then a lick of fire. Literally. It looked like a lick of fire sitting on top. God, his ability to divide himself. He come on the day of Pentecost as he promised. He poured out his spirit upon them. The promise of the Father was coming upon them. And a sound, listen, is this supernatural? The church started with the supernatural. It's always had the supernatural, and it always will have the supernatural. But the foundation of the New Testament church is a Pentecostal experience where you're born of the Spirit of God, where you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. When you're baptized in water, we have a baptism today. Aquila wants to be baptized. She was baptized before. She's going to be rebaptized. But that water, that's an experience. You go down and you're covered with water and you come up like the death, burial, and resurrection. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Don't ever let the baptism of the Holy Ghost become a theological thing where I think so, but, you know, I believe this and that. No, it's an experience.
Amen.
With God, the Spirit of God baptizes you.
Amen.
And it changes you, and you're not the same anymore.
Yes.
From that moment, they were not the same anymore.
Right.
It was a defining moment in her life. They came on the day of Pentecost and the Holy Ghost descended upon them and tongues of fire hung on them. And then they went out and look at verse 3. And there appeared unto them tongues of fire and it sat upon each of them and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, let it be. And begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. We're not against speaking in tongues. I'm not against speaking in tongues. The Bible says, forbid not to speak with tongues. Where did that become a bad thing? When you talk about the gifts of the Spirit in some of the end time messages, they actually look down upon that and say, we're beyond that. We're in the Word. If you were beyond it and you had the Word, you'd have all the gifts operating.
That's right.
God help us to see it. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, we need every gift God wants to give us. But we can't force Him to give any gifts. A gift is something He gives. Right? Remember when the Latter Day movement happened? We did the history of that. They started imparting gifts on the people. And Brother Rand said, that's where they went wrong. They had a real move of God. Listen, when God ever moves in a real way, the devil perks up. He said, I don't want the supernatural. I can fool them with theology. But when the supernatural comes in, that's the real stuff. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us to see. And they were dwelling, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And now when all this was noised abroad and the multitude, you know, there's always noise where Jesus is, and the multitude come together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. Now the disciples didn't all of a sudden study new languages and learn new languages and go out. No, they didn't know. They were unlearned, ignorant men. They were not very smart people. They were fishermen and they went out there and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they were so excited because the promise that they were told about happened and it was real. To them and it was in them and they could feel it. Amen. And they went out to declare the truth, and when they did, they tried to speak it, like me, I would try to speak in English, but someone heard me in Spanish, or someone heard me in French, or someone heard me in Italian that I don't know. That's supernatural.
Amen.
Now there are tongues of men and tongues of angels. Amen. But in this case, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men or the tongues of angels, there's different kinds of tongues. Some people want to say, oh, speaking in tongues is only like that. No, it can be tongues of men. It can be tongues of angels. Yes, let's keep our balance in the scriptures. But on this day of Pentecost, when they went out to speak in their own language, other people heard them in their language. And we've heard testimonies of that. People praying for the sick, and they're praying in English, and someone hears them in Spanish. That's the same exact thing that happened there. It's the truth. They shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue? Where and we were born. What's that called? A wonder. That's amazing. They're Galileans. Right? In other words, wait a minute. They speak English. How do I hear them in Spanish? They speak French, but I hear them in English. Our God is a supernatural God. You know, and I don't even know well, how it works, but I don't care. Think about somebody in their mind is speaking English, right? But coming out, is it coming out English and it gets translated into Spanish? Or is it coming out Spanish? I don't care. God is God.
Amen.
He's supernatural. Stop trying to figure out God. Just believe God. Believe all things are possible. Don't try and figure Him out. We can't figure Him out. He's just supernatural. Oh, don't you love that? I love that. Praise God. Verse 14. But Peter standing up with the 11. I'm going to say he was feeling pretty good. You think? Hiding in the upper room. He had denied Christ not that long ago. Bitterly wept because he denied Christ. He's thinking, I'm such a failure. You know, it doesn't take long for God to take someone who's failed and to restore them. Weeping bitterly in repentance is a good way back to God. And there he was, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judah and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. For these men are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Amen. And it shall come to pass in the last days. You know, it's more last days now than it is back then. But God, many times, he has multiple fulfillments of a word. So my simple belief is the things that they fulfilled then, we can fulfill in this last day just the same way. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Notice, all flesh not saved, but he can pour out all spirit, right, on everybody. On all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon turned into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Look at verse 21 that I love very much. And it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, call on the name of the Lord. If you're sitting here today and you don't know God, I'm just telling you, call on the name of the Lord. Just say, Lord, I don't understand anything, but I want to be saved. Save me, oh God. Lord, save me. You said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Save me, oh God. Call on the name of the Lord. Don't care what condition you're in. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Whosoever shall call. Let's go to verse 37. Peter preaches a wonderful sermon you can read. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? What a beautiful place. Amen. Then Peter said unto them, Repent. See, repentance is the first thing. That repentance and remissions of sins would be preached to all people. Repentance. Circumcision of the heart has to do with repentance. Receiving the Holy Ghost has to do with repentance. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
For the promise is unto you and unto your children, unto all them are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. We can say the same thing today. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day. Now notice, they that gladly received his word were baptized. It wasn't people that were forced to be baptized. It was people that gladly received the word. They wanted to be baptized. Christianity is not forced religion. Don't try and force religion on somebody. That's not how God does it. Christianity is a response in your heart to God's word. That's how it's supposed to work. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so we see here, they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear, notice verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So after they had this supernatural experience, then signs and wonders. See, we're following them, many of them, everywhere. Where's our expectation of that? Has the devil come in and stolen that and said, you know what, it's not for you? What you need to do is stand up and say, it is for me. My God is supernatural, and you get what you expect, and if you expect nothing, you get nothing. But if you expect God to be the same yesterday, today, and forever, every day of your life, he'll prove that to you. God answers prayer. Chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, they were different people now. See, it starts with an experience with God. But once you have that experience, look out. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb. He was about 40 years old. 40 years lame from his mother's womb. Cat was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate. So people had to carry him and lay him at the gate, right? I love this story. You ever get tired of this? I just don't get tired of this. This is wonderful. Laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. It's a beautiful story. To ask alms of them that entered into the gate. So they laid him there because he was destitute. He didn't have a way to work. He's lame, so he's begging. So people feel sorry for him. They give him some money, and that's the way he lived. But today, Peter and John were coming by. It was the day after something happened to Peter and John. Oh, Lord, let something happen to us today.
Amen.
Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Now, pay attention now. I know you've heard it before. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Now, I realize it was Peter's voice. But I believe they're walking into the temple. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. Their faith is skyrocketing. The faith of Jesus Christ is in them. There are no doubts. There are no fears. Everything Jesus promised and said was going to happen, happened.
Right.
And now they're starting to realize their purpose in life. I wasn't supposed to be a fisherman. That was preparation for my real job. I'm to be a fisher of men. And they walk to the temple, and the Holy Ghost is in them, and the guy giving alms holds out his hand. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that guy was not asking to be healed.
Amen.
He was asking for a bit of change.
Amen.
Don't make rules in your mind. God is a sovereign God. When he wants to work, he's going to work.
Amen.
But what happened in that moment? They're walking by the gate called Beautiful. There's the man asking for alms. Peter's standing there. But because Peter was not by himself anymore, there was somebody living within him. There was a God of creation living within him. All of a sudden, inspiration come upon Peter.
Amen.
He was inspired and he looked. And all of a sudden, he's not speaking anymore. But Jesus is speaking. And he says, "Look on us."
Amen.
I know it was Peter's voice, but it was my God that was in there.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, I love it. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. He wasn't even sure what he was going to get. Maybe just a couple quarters or pennies or, you know, just something so I could get a piece of bread. But today was his day. Today, God had chosen him sovereignly to manifest his power. Remember, God chooses whom he will. He does what he wants to do. It's not for us to say, not for this one, it's for this one. Some people, they could be plagued their whole life with an evil spirit for a miracle that God is going to do in a moment.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Peter, praise God, expecting to receive something. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." I've got something greater than silver and gold. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now watch what Peter did immediately. No doubt, no fear, no hope, faith. "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up." Praise God. He's so filled with the Holy Ghost. It's Jesus at work, not Peter. It's Jesus working in Peter. "Look on us. Silver and gold have I none, such as I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he goes and gets him by the hand and he picks him up. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, send your power just now. Oh, Lord, send your power just now. Oh, Lord, send your power just now and baptize everyone. Yes. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now listen, I realize some people could say, well, why did he make him 40 years? Why did he make him wait that long? Why did it happen like this? Why? Don't ask why. Just thank God for what he's doing. God has a purpose, a greater purpose than we understand. We're bound by time. We think time matters. We need to break out of time and realize God is fixing to do something supernatural in our midst here. God is fixing the move. All the sorrows of the road will seem nothing when we get to the end of the way. You want to hold on to this world? That's a bad choice. Hold on to Jesus. This whole world is dying all around us. God is fixing to set up a kingdom, a millennial kingdom. And the first thing he's doing, he's going to come and catch a bride. He's going to take a bride out of every nation, kindred, tongue. Right? That's why we always love the international flavor of this local assembly. Out of every nation, kindred, and tongue, out of all seven church ages, Paul's part of that bride. The disciples, they're part of that bride. Praise God, I believe there's a bride, a Gentile bride. There's an Old Testament elect, and there's a Gentile bride. I believe that.
Amen.
And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those saints from the down through those ages. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. But I do believe there's going to be some work happen here. I don't understand how it's going to be. God's going to finish this thing in a wonderful way. And you can never, ever convince me that it'll be anything but the supernatural power of God. And those that belittle it and talk against it, say, oh, you're in first pool, Brother John. Those that talk weird about the message and have interpreted it wrong, God will bypass them completely. He's looking for someone that believes, simply believes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pray, received his ankle bones, received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Remember that song? Walking and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Peter and John went to pray. Let's sing it. They met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms and held out his palms. And this is what Peter did say. Oh, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. That's not just a song. That's a true story of the church of the living God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you love him? Do you believe him? Do you believe all things are possible? Can I go a little bit further? All right. Just a little bit. I know we're getting on here. Praise God. This is an exciting book.
Amen.
You know what's more exciting?
Yeah.
We're involved.
Amen.
We didn't put ourselves in a special place. He did.
Amen.
I realize I'm no better than any man. You're no better than any man or woman.
Amen.
But God has chosen some. Praise God. So They all ran together looking at them. We know the story. And he said, hey, this is not me. And you can read the rest of the chapter later. Peter knew it wasn't him. Hey, he was just down the pit because he denied him. He said, listen, it's not me. It's Jesus. Now let's go to what happened after that miracle. Chapter 4. And I'll finish with this chapter. But and as they spake, I'll try not to talk. And as they spake unto the people and priests and the captain of unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they were grieved that they were preaching the truth. All right. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eveningtide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. 3,000 on Pentecost, 5,000 here, praise God. And it came to pass on the morrow, verse 5, that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power... Can you imagine how he felt? By what power, by what name have you done this? Oh, Peter. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Amen. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. These guys have been with Jesus, haven't they? Yeah, they have. They've been with Jesus. Oh, if someone would take note, we've been with Jesus. Verse 14, and this is part that I love, and I want to anchor it into your hearts. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. See, when people see the miracles, they're silenced. Those Pharisees and priests were educated, higher up people. There's no way Peter and John could match wits with those intellectual people. Same with you and I. It's the same with you and I with intellectuals around the message. You don't match wits with people based on intellect and knowledge. You let God demonstrate and manifest who is God's and who is not. Praise God. They could say nothing against it. You take the supernatural out of the book of Acts, you don't have much of a story. You take the supernatural out of this end time ministry, you got nothing there. Just teaching. You take the supernatural out of Jesus' life, take it out of the Bible, you got a lot of holes there. So why would we today, claiming to be the church of the living God, accept a powerless church? God hates a powerless religion. What does he think of someone who's satisfied without the power of God surging through their body, surging through their life? Let's not be satisfied with that. I want to see him. Amen. I want to see him in you. Working in you, moving in your lives. You know, Tim won't have to stand up here and beg for a testimony. You'll have testimony after testimony after testimony of miracles of God. Amen. Not natural things that happen and what God could be in it or not, but supernatural that could only happen by the hand of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to try and read on here. But when they had commanded them to go aside, tell the disciples, go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For in that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further, think about faulty thinking, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Listen, it just proves you can witness God doing something and be totally detached, totally clueless of what's really going on. And you know what their downfall is many times? We preached about it many times. When you get lifted up in yourself and you say, I'm better than somebody else. I know better than them. We know better. Of course, we're the leaders of the people. We know better. We don't know anything. God's the one that knows something. Don't get lifted up in yourself. That's a dangerous place to be. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or nor teach in the name of Jesus. Well, that wasn't going to happen. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And that became a commission of Brother Green, because he had seen so much in the last days. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elder had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God in one accord and said, Lord, listen to this prayer. Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine of vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 30, expectations. By stretching forth thine hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Praise God. But Brother John, weren't they already filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost? Yes, but that's a great thing about the Holy Ghost. You can have it again and again and again. Make sure you get it once. But God, it's not beneath God to give it to you again and baptize you again. Oh Lord, may you baptize us every day of our life.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't think I'm crazy. Let's all stand. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, my mind always goes back to Job when he said to you, I have spoken things too wonderful for me. Lord, there's many times I just want to put my hand over my mouth. I just want to sit down, but I can't do it, Lord. There's something driving us, pushing us, something that wasn't there before. But you came to me one day, and you changed my life, changed my ambitions. I didn't see the world the same anymore. And Lord, you showed me supernatural things that cannot be explained in the natural. You showed me things to come. You've seen miracles happen. Lord, help us to believe that all things are possible if we only believe. Lord, I'm not worthy to stand here today, but you put me here. And I just ask that you confirm your word, O God. Not for me, Lord, or for my sake, but for your word's sake. Confirm your word to the people. May they stand upon your word and see the power of God made manifest. Grant it, O God. Fill them with your faith. May they not go forth the same, but may they go forth Christian believers, soldiers of the cross, realizing that all the power of the devil is underneath their feet. In the name of Jesus Christ, there's power in your name, Lord. Oh, fill us with your spirit. In Jesus' name, fill my cup. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.